Welcome in to Daily Tap for January 30th. Crazy, we've only almost been doing this for a month now. How you doing? Charlie here with you for a Tuesday edition. You can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Once again, looking for proof. If you guys are following all the channels, show it to me. Let me know through screenshots, and I will hook you up. I will find out a way to hook you up. We'll get it happening. We'll get it popping. So want to take care of everybody, and we have a good show today. A lot to talk about. Do want to remind the folks that we will not have a Daily Tap for the last day of January, as Tapping the Keg will be coming to you with episode 270. Noel Murphy will be on the podcast, probably talking a lot about the Super Bowl, as well as looking ahead to maybe the Packers draft, along with maybe a few, we'll maybe let him talk about the Bucks. We tend to keep the Bucks takes to Mitch and I. Who knows? Maybe we'll let Murph off the leash to talk about the Bucks as well. So look forward to that, and then we'll be back to start off February on a good note. So it was a good and bad night for Wisconsin sports, whether you are just a Bucks fan, or if you're a Bucks and Badger fan, had a good Bucks win and a really tough Badger loss. So it depends on how you lean on a Monday night, but as a Bucks fan, it was a good night for me. Seeing the Milwaukee Bucks take control in the second half to down the Philadelphia 76ers 107-95 in a very important victory. They did it without Embiid, who ducked Giannis in this game. Embiid rests on a back-to-back. And so you can say, well, they didn't have Embiid, so how can you really be that happy with it? And there's going to be a lot of, I think, some of the discussion Mitch Murph and I will have tomorrow is, well, how excited can we really be about this Bucks team, considering the four teams they've played all have, you know, discernible flaws to them? But we'll see. I think that this is a start in the right direction. You can clearly see Joe Prunty's doing some different things, getting this team to play in a different manner and style, and it's working. And Giannis kind of being this usage monster is huge. He has 31 points, 18 boards, 6 assists, and Jabari Parker will be back on Friday night against the New York Knicks in what should be a raucous Bradley Center with Jabari coming back. The Bucks are at full strength. It'll be very interesting to see what Prunty does out there. And granted, they might be missing Eric Bledsoe, who played 3 minutes and then he bowed out for the game with a sore ankle. Now this infuriated the DraftKings community. And what's funny is I had Eric Bledsoe in a league tonight. I play DraftKings most nights, for those who know or don't know. And I had Eric Bledsoe. I was wavering between him and Middleton. I had just a shit night in general. Just really not a good night for your boy. And, I mean, I was like, yeah, that sucks that Bledsoe's not playing, but I didn't cry about it. I mean, these guys who go on Twitter and just start bitching at the beat reporters, like my guy Matty V, and just are such babies about it. Grow the fuck up. Like, I hate these people. Like, it's part of gambling. Like, it's not a given that you're going to cash out every night. Like, this type of shit's going to happen. So, I didn't check my lineups, and I played a lot of Shane Larkin and Tyus Jones. I fucking lost money because of that. I'm not running to my computer bitching all the time about it. I swear to God, this is why people hate fantasy, because people just cannot understand that there is variance in life and that things aren't going to work out the way they're supposed to. Just because you had this kick-ass lineup and your optimizer did this, like, it's just not, that's not how it works. That's not how, like, life works. And I think the DFS community, there's a lot of smart people, and I'm not trying to bang on those guys, because a lot of them are very talented and have got there where they are. But this whole, like, wow, we're really mad about this Eric Bledsoe situation. Like, Eric Bledsoe wasn't, like, a top play. Eric Bledsoe wasn't a guy who was a lock-in. He's been struggling of late. And if you had been watching any Bucks games, you'd realize that he's kind of been on the skid. So he should have been a fade. I should have faded him. I got too cute. I should have went Chris Middleton. I could have played Chris Middleton. So could everybody else. So I don't understand why these assholes think that Matt Velasquez should be doing a better job and all this other shit. It's like, I hate that. I just can't stand when people think that the fantasy is more important than, you know, what's going on in the game and Bledsoe's well-being and stuff like that. So you wanted to play him on a bum ankle and go 20 minutes and score nothing and maybe hurt his ankle more. Bucks weren't going to risk it. It was a very smart move, if anything, by Prunty, because they're like, we think he can go. He obviously said no. 3 games in 4 nights was a little rough on the ankle. They have a couple days off, and they get going. Malcolm Brogdon's back. They're fine. So who cares? These people just care way too much about fantasy sometimes, and just be a hobby, even if it's habitual, because that's just how it has to be, and not get yourself so wrapped up and wound up because Eric Bledsoe isn't playing. Heaven forbid, get a fucking life. So yes, we will talk about other Bucks-related topics today. We've already blogged about the recap and what Jabari Parker's return means. So look for all of that. It is also good to see the Bucks now are at the 5th seed. All of a sudden, they are tied with Washington. Washington plays the Thunder this evening. We'll see if the Bucks can be alone at that 5 spot. And it's clear that things are trending in the right direction, and this is exactly why Jason Kidd got fired a week ago. If you think about it, it was really cold. The Bucks knew that there was a chance they could get on a hot streak with the level of competition they were playing. Add in the fact that Jabari Parker was about to come back, and they just wanted nothing to do with Jason Kidd. It was more diabolical than people give it credit for, but I have to applaud the Bucks for going out of their way to make this happen. And I just hope Jason Kidd watches this and stews in anger and says, well, why didn't they do this for me? Or, you see, this is what I wanted them to do. They just never listened. That's what Jason Kidd's going to tell Magic Johnson or someone else that's going to try to convince him to hire him again. He's going to look at, like, what the Bucks do this second half, and he's going to take all the credit for it. He's going to be like, well, this was, like, my original vision, you see, but it had to go the other way. So, yes, I hope Jason doing whatever Jason's doing and enjoying himself and living the best life, because God knows I am without him. So Prun Defeated continues. It goes on. The beat goes on until Thursday night with a big showdown with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That should be a lot of fun, hopefully. A little worried about the Bucks traveling to the Super Bowl location during the week and everything that could go along with that. Might not be the best spot. Bucks were hungover when they played them the first time. Could be hungover again with the second time. All right, moving on to college basketball. So Wisconsin Badgers dropped another game. They lost their third straight. They lost to Nebraska 74-63. We'll have the recap on Stonetap WI. It's a website. It was a tough loss for Wisconsin. They had a double-digit lead in the second half, and Nebraska kept chipping away, really tightened the screws on defense, and Wisconsin lost. Ethan Happ, great stat line, 25 points, 11 boards, 6 assists. But it's starting to get to that point where I think there's going to be a lot of itchy thoughts about Greg Gard, whether Greg Gard's the right guy for the job, if Greg Gard really, you know, what's next for this Wisconsin team, because this is clearly a down year, a rough year. How do you bounce back and get yourselves right back up again? And what Greg Gard really does need to do is he needs to hire a version of himself. Greg Gard is missing that supreme recruit. According to my buddy Doze and Wisconsin Superfan, he pointed out that Lamont Paris was that guy, and now he's the head coach at Chattanooga. But they don't have that one guy who's sort of there to make the difference, to convert the Joey Hausers and Tyler Herros. I mean, if they had Tyler Herros and Joey Hauser on this 2018 roster, no one gives a shit about this season. It's like, well, Herros and Hauser are coming to this team next year, and they're going to be just fine. And then you add Kobe King, you added Ethan Happ's Van Wilder year, and Nathan Reavers, and all that, and you're like, okay, this Brad Davison, this is a very, very good basketball team. But instead, you're looking at it now, and like, Harrow's going to Kentucky. He flipped his commit. You have Joey Hauser playing for the rival, and this whole Hauser family rivalry with Marquette versus Wisconsin, partly on Bo for not recruiting Sam Hauser, not wanting to recruit Sam Hauser out of high school, and kind of the causation from the blowback from that. And so now you have a guy named Taylor Curry, who's kind of a bruiser, classic Wisconsin. Joe Hedstrom, who I believe is going to be a walk-on. It kind of is like a wait-and-see thing. I don't know how it really exactly works. But This Badger team is bad, and it starts with the depth of this roster. This junior class is so bad for Wisconsin. Alex Anacanan, Charlie Thomas, Brevin Pritzel has been better, but Brevin Pritzel I don't think is the player that everybody expected him to be. Like, I pulled a quote from Brian Snow of Scout.com talking about this Badger recruiting class a few years back, and here's what he said about it just overall. I don't want that to have a negative connotation in any way. It's what Ryan does. I think he's referring to just kind of the guys he's getting. He does it as well as any coach in the country. Who am I to doubt what Bo Ryan's doing? I think it's a good class and a class Wisconsin should be happy with, because they have guys that fit what they are looking for. So this is the quote before Thomas, Ilkanen, and Pritzel got to school. And yet, they just haven't made it. It hasn't worked for Wisconsin. And Wisconsin needs to kind of figure out what's next for them. They have to kind of do the next generation of Wisconsin basketball. Now, Bo Ryan, now granted, they didn't miss the tournament, but Bo Ryan realized a few years ago that, you know, they had to change out of the swing and kind of expand the swing and do a little bit more with the swing. And then you saw Badger teams getting to the Final Four. You saw Badger team nearly winning the national championship, and it was because they played a little more open of a style. And now Wisconsin has to adjust again and figure out how can we bolster this bench. Now they have one more scholarship available. I think if I was anything, you save that for a grad transfer and you get a dynamite grad transfer to come in and someone who can be provided off your bench, maybe a shooter, because I think Wisconsin has a decent team next year. I think they may be a tournament team. They're young again, because you have Reavers, King, Davidson, all sophomores. You're led by Happ, who's your senior. Kobe King will be back, another sophomore. So you and Pritzel, who would be a redshirt junior. So they have some talent, definitely have talent next year. But they don't necessarily have any depth, and that's what's going to really hurt this team, is that they just do not seem to get a good host of guys in each year, and things keep blowing up on them. You know, they offered Nate Lazerski from Massachusetts after they missed out on Joey Hauser. Lazerski kind of shot his way up the rankings. His dad went to Wisconsin. His sister plays for the Badgers basketball team, and he ends up going to Notre Dame. So it's like Wisconsin can get to the finish line, but they can't go over the hump. They're not a bag dropping university, so they're not dropping the bag. Shout out to One Shining Podcast. And I don't think Wisconsin needs to like get a Jeff Capel where they're just dropping bags left and right. That's not who Wisconsin is, nor do I expect them to change the way they're doing it. But they do need a closer. And I think Greg Gard for a lot of those years was the closer. He was the guy who really convinced these players to come play for Wisconsin and what it meant to be a Badger. I don't think they have that right now. And Gard can't do it all the time because he's that coach. And it's just not in – he needs to take a step back from that recruiting aspect and realize that other guys can do this, bring in some top recruiters, bring in that so you can kind of start rebuilding this and taking back the Midwest, because right now it's kind of a free-for-all. Whether it's Marquette, whether it's Minnesota, Kentucky gets their paws on some things. West Virginia has Jordan McCabe, who not necessarily a Wisconsin-type player, just considering his sort of the way he plays basketball. I mean, he's kind of a chucker, and I don't know if he'd actually fit, but Jordan McCabe would look real nice in a Badger uniform next year, all things considered. So I think the fact is the Badgers need a little bit of a refresh when it comes to the recruiting angle, and maybe they'll be back. But it's the Big Ten doesn't get any easier, and it's gonna be an uphill battle. And so my advice to Badger fans, I've went through this with Marquette with some struggling years, and you just look for bright spots. You just hope to beat some good team in February, and you have that to hang your hat on. But this is a pretty ugly team, and maybe they put it together as the year goes on and make a run, but it's hard for me to see that right now. Finishing up with two things, one little Super Bowl nugget and then a quick pop culture topic. So I did want to mention our next Super Bowl topic is going to be, is Nick Foles is the best quarterback the Patriots have seen in quite some time? And you're like, Nick Foles, right? But Nick Foles kind of had his shit together in a big way, and they were getting chunks of yardage against that Vikings defense. And for all the things that the Patriots have, they do not have a good defense, especially through the air. And the Jaguars were getting chunks of yardage, but Jacksonville really only had about 30 plays. And now news came out yesterday that Blake Bortles has been had a bad wrist the entire year. So I think that severely limited the playbook as well. So now you have Doug Peterson, who I think may be an offensive genius, is going to be able to do all sorts of different things with Foles. The arm strength, it clearly isn't an issue. People said his elbow might be bothering him. He was chucking the ball downfield. I think New England is in for a real test against Foles, and he's one of the better quarterbacks they've seen recently. And it would not surprise me if this game is a shootout with him and Tom Brady, because Foles can sling it. And if you take Foles for granted, it is a big mistake. He's going to be a starting quarterback next season. I know some people wanted to say, oh, we're going to have a controversy if Foles wins the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is still that dude. Now, as Barstool Big Cat pointed out last week, is Carson Wentz a system quarterback? Well, that might be a discussion. That might be a discussion, because that's something that we can definitely wonder about if Foles gets this job done. Even if Foles doesn't and he looks competent, you have to start wondering, is Doug Peterson just that damn good of a offensive coach and he can make anybody be pretty decent? I think Nick Foles can compete with this Patriots defense. They are not scary whatsoever. The Patriots can stop have struggled stopping the run. They've settled the pass. That's been the sneaky thing, is this team hasn't really seen a potent offense in quite some time. And yeah, they can adjust and make things happen. But this is not going to be an easy task either side of the ball. Robert Mays wrote about the offensive line for the Eagles, led by Lane Johnson. They have a mean up front. This Eagles team's good. And the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm thinking about taking the Eagles straight up. I definitely think they're going to cover. But I'm leaning potentially towards going to Eagles money line and saying that they're going to win this thing, because I don't know. I just think that the Patriots, I don't want to say, are frauds, and we'll talk more about the actual game later on in the week. But it's like, who did they really play in the last 3 weeks? They've been kind of on coast mode while the Eagles have just sort of grinded out. They grinded out a game against Atlanta, and then they played one of their best games of the year against Minnesota. And this Eagle team has kind of been disrespected from the start. I mean, that's why they have the underdog thing. And yeah, I just could see it. I definitely can see the Eagles, Nick Foles, winning this Super Bowl. So food for thought. I don't know where it'll go from there. Nothing really from Media Day worth noting about. It's always nice to see journalists get on their high horse about Media Day, which is, again, a fucking joke. So there's really no reason to get on their high horses, but God, just journalists love to be crotchety. They just love to be in a pissy mood. They can never just be happy with what's going on and how they get to cover a Super Bowl. And there's only maybe not even like 1% of people who get to do that job. So just maybe be grateful. And then finishing up, I know we only do about 3 topics, but I did want to call out the fact that Kim Kardashian had some of the raciest pics on Instagram I have ever seen. I mean, borderline like Playboy cutout, and they're saying now it's cultural appropriation because she wore braids. She was honoring Bo Derek from Perfect 10, if you're familiar with that. And you can kind of obviously get why, trying to show and just showing off her body all over the place. Kind of crazy. But I do want to say one thing. When Kim Kardashian does this shit, it's not that she breaks the internet every time. Like, can we stop that? We're going to have a snow tap. Maybe the snow tap dictionary, the banned words, the snow tap banned words, or we'll figure out a title, because I have 2 at the start. Breaking the internet is 1, because every time there's a racy pic of some superstar, some pop icon, it's not breaking the internet. Okay, her tits and ass are out. Good for her. It's not a big deal. Who cares? That's life. I can go on Instagram, scroll through, and see plenty of tits and ass. Just because this person has a bigger following doesn't really mean shit. And then number two, can we get your tire claps back? Especially when you're like a news organization, not naming names, TMJ4. Like, claps back is just so fucking try hard. Like, do way less. If you're saying claps back in like a normal sentence, or you're like, or you think that that's an acceptable headline for anything you do, like, just do, just be, you know, it's just like, God, I hate it. I hate it. It's just a dumb, it's not a phrase. Claps, just end it. I'll just end it here. Claps back's dumb. Breaking the internet is dumb. Let's all have a good tapping the keg tomorrow. Murph will be on. Get excited for that. And we shall talk to you again on Thursday. It will be February and we'll get closer and closer to the Super Bowl. Take care, Tappers. Have a good one. See you.